You're listening to SBS News.
It was a playful elbow tap for the cameras between US Secretary of State Antony Blinken and British Foreign Minister Dominic Raab. Talks have begun among foreign ministers, including Australia's Maurice Payne, to set the agenda for this year's G7 summit in June. Comprising Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, the United Kingdom, the United States and the European Union, the Group of Seven represents over 58% of the world's wealth. It's been almost 2 years since leaders at the usually annual summit have met face-to-face after the coronavirus pandemic delayed and eventually cancelled last year's event. In 2019, the focus was on trade, taxation and stability in the Middle East. Now the political landscape has shifted. US Secretary of State Antony Blinken is signalling the group's focus will be on issues that have a real impact.
The work that we do together advances progress on the most urgent global issues, and global issues that are having a real impact on the lives of our citizens, including stopping COVID-19, addressing the threat of climate change, defending democratic values and open societies.
Both Mr. Blinken and Mr. Raab have signalled they're keen to form a so-called International Alliance of Freedom-Loving Countries to protect democracies. The perceived threat? The actions of China and Russia. Russia was ejected from what was then the G8 in 2014, following its annexation of Crimea. Regional tensions on the border of Ukraine continue today, and the poisoning and ongoing detention of Kremlin critic Alexei Navalny has also been condemned. Mr. Raab says there's always an opportunity for positive relations with Russia's government, but there's a catch.
But what's got to change is Russia's behaviour against, as a P5 member of the Security Council, against the basic norms of international law, whether it's the brinkmanship and the sabre-rattling on the border with Ukraine, whether it's the cyber attacks and the misinformation, or indeed the poisoning of Alexei Navalny, which was not just a human rights abuse, but a chemical use of chemical weapons on Russian soil.
The US has also raised concerns about Russia's actions. In past, it has blamed the country for attempting to influence its presidential elections with misinformation. Secretary Blinken is also hoping to secure a more stable relationship.
President Biden's been very clear for a long time, including before he was president, that if Russia chooses to act recklessly or aggressively, we'll respond. But we're not looking to escalate. We would prefer to have a more stable, more predictable relationship.
It's a marked shift in rhetoric from the United States under the Biden administration. Previous President Donald Trump had tried to invite Russia back to the group last year. Dr. Emma Shortis is a researcher at the EU Centre of Excellence at RMIT.
There's been a shift in the way that the Biden administration is approaching Russia. And in the UK as well, you know, they've been making noises about, particularly about kind of Russian propaganda and so-called Russian interference in democratic elections. I think it's interesting to see it's largely a continuation of the Trump administration's approach to China. Biden has been particularly hawkish, I think, when it comes to China.
There's been a notable rise in tensions between China and the West, with Australia among the countries most brazen in its criticism. Foreign Minister Maurice Payne has written an opinion piece in the Australian newspaper criticising China's attempts to, in her words, buy influence with its Belt and Road infrastructure scheme. Secretary Blinken is taking a more considered tone.
It is not our purpose to try to contain China or to hold China down. What we are trying to do is to uphold the international rules-based order that our countries have invested so much in over so many decades, to the benefit, I would argue, not just of our own citizens, but of people around the world, including, by the way, China.
Australia's presence as an invitee, along with regional grouping ASEAN, is a sign of the increasing importance the US places on the Indo-Pacific region and the security relationship between our two countries, according to Dr. Shortis.
The Australian government has also been reassured by the Biden administration's approach to China, which, as I said, is kind of largely a continuation of Trump's approach, which is very strong. And so I think the Australian government at least is reassured by that. And also by the fact that, you know, the continuing invitation to the G7 is indicative of the fact that Biden administration's pressure on issues like climate change is apparently not going to impinge on the security relationship between the United States and Australia as well.
The issue of climate is also set to feature highly on the agenda ahead of the upcoming Glasgow summit in November. It's a keen policy point of both Boris Johnson's British government and the US under President Biden, who said earlier this year that America was back on the international policy stage. The focus will also be on speeding up the global vaccine rollout and tackling the ongoing public health crisis, currently at its worst in India. Dr. Shortus says there is a want for the meeting to lead to real action on this issue.
And there are calls, especially, I think, for concerted action coming out of this G7, you know, in contrast to previous ones, particularly around things like the vaccine rollout. There's certainly a big push to get the G7 to act in that sense. And the presence of India in that meeting, I think, will further highlight the need for the G7 to act in that regard.
The foreign ministers' meeting ends on the 6th of May, with a leaders' summit scheduled to begin on June 11th. Naveen Razik, SBS News.